Hi everyone. Welcome to the Quest Dad podcast. A story about a dream that started in a garage and ended up changing the whole world. The company at the heart of this story is called Apple. Our story begins with two very special kids. The first kid was named Steve Jobs. He was the kind of kid who couldn't stop asking questions. Why do TVs glow? How do radios pick up sound? What makes machines tick? He wanted to know everything. Steve grew up in a place called Mountain View in California. That place later got a famous nickname, Silicon Valley. It was full of engineers, full of people who loved to build things with their hands. One day, a neighbor showed young Steve a computer. That computer was huge, clunky. By today's standards, it could barely do anything. But to Steve, it was like magic, a machine that could think. He had to know more. Now let me tell you about the other kid. His name was Steve Wozniak, but everyone called him Woz. Woz was a true genius with circuits and wires. While other kids were out playing sports, Woz was in his bedroom, building computers from scratch. Once he built a tic-tac-toe machine out of transistors and resistors, a little homemade box with 100 tiny rules inside so the machine could play against you and never lose. Imagine building your own robot opponent from spare parts. When Jobs and Woz met through a mutual friend, everything just clicked. Jobs was the dreamer. He could see what technology could mean for regular people. Woz was the builder. He could actually make things work. Together, they were unstoppable. In the mid-1970s, computers were enormous machines that filled entire rooms. Only big companies and universities could afford them. A regular person owning a computer at home? Most people would have laughed at you. But Jobs and Woz had a wild idea. What if computers were small enough to fit on a desk? What if anyone could use one? Woz got to work. In his spare time, he designed a tiny computer and called it Apple One. It was basically just a circuit board. No screen, no keyboard, no case. You had to add everything yourself. But Jobs saw the potential. He didn't just see a circuit board. He saw the future. On April 1, 1976, yes, April Fool's Day, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak and their friend Ronald Wayne officially created the Apple Computer Company. Jobs was just 21 years old. Woz was 25. Their first office, the Jobs family garage in Los Altos, California. It was cramped, it was messy, it smelled like melted metal, but it was theirs. Jobs convinced a local computer store to order 50 Apple I units. That was their first real customer. But there was a problem. They didn't have the money to buy the parts. So what did they do? Jobs took his Volkswagen van and sold it. Woz sold his most treasured calculator. They scraped together just enough money, and then they built all 50 computers by hand. Each Apple I sold for about $666. They made enough to keep going. The Apple I was impressive, but it was still only for hobbyists. Jobs wanted something bigger. He wanted a computer that your mom, your teacher, even your grandma could use. In 1977, Apple released the Apple II, and it changed everything. The Apple II came in a sleek plastic case, not a bare circuit board. It had a keyboard built right in. You could connect it to your TV, and it had color graphics. At a time when most computers could only show green text on a black screen, the Apple II could display colors like a painting. Schools started buying them, businesses started buying them, families started buying them. The Apple II became one of the first truly successful personal computers in history. Apple went from two guys in a garage to a real company with hundreds of employees. By 1980, when Apple first sold shares on the stock market, the company was worth $1.2 billion. Jobs and Woz had proven something. A wild idea, born in a garage, could really change the world. Here's the thing about Apple's beginning that matters the most. It didn't start with billions of dollars or a fancy laboratory. It started with two friends, a shared passion, and a garage. They didn't wait for anyone's permission. They didn't wait until they were older, or richer, or more experienced. They just started building. And when they ran out of money, they sold what they had, and they kept going. That garage in Los Altos is still there today. It's a historic landmark now, living proof that the biggest ideas can come from the smallest places. Okay, that's our story for today. If you enjoyed this, tell your friends about the show. We'll see you next time.